고슴 급에 꺼내 짝재로 무심히 주주지 마루부 처음에 내 사 And we'll do the short mandala offering and then continue on and do the next couple of prayers on the following page.
Something in the ballpark, like in the neighborhood. I don't know if it's the right house, but something in the right area, but maybe not the right address. How to refute the four extremes, which is based on how things come into existence. So, like, for the eye, for seeing something, is based on the form, the eye sense power, and eye consciousness. Previous moment of consciousness. So then, thing. Right. Eye sense power. The eye consciousness?
No.
Huh?
I have a guess, but
go for it.
So, I read it as an associated causes, so other causes that are associated. For example, if a sprout comes from a seed, then it's a light, or you know that, or the you know other causes that have to be associated with the sprout to form from the seed, like
so,
that.
So now the source is
there, there's some consciousness. So that's what I wasn't sure. So
now you say like object.
Object.
Sense power. Then like
right before.
Right. Preceding moment.
I have it from what Alex Berzin said. Causal condition, that's the Gyuken, is that right?
Yeah.
All the causes that have the power to produce a specific result. This refers to the five types of causes other than the acting causes. Is that right? Does that make sense? All the causes that have the power to produce a specific result. The five types of causes other than the acting causes.
So this is what I found was it said it was called along with the there was a predominant condition, which is the visual sense organ, right? And then there was a cooperative condition, which is the other conditions that must be present in order for an effect to be produced, such as the light to be present in order to generate the visual consciousness, if you're going to see something. So those kind of things. So I don't know if it's just...
Yeah. So Gyuken is causal condition. The Dema Takken?
Yeah, that's
the immediately preceding conditions. So that's the immediately preceding moment of awareness, which produces the appearance making and cognizing of the next moment of awareness as its result. Well, in his order it's two, but I mean I'm not sure.
Would you send that out to the list?
Sure, I mean I can send out the link, sure.
Where did you find that?
Yeah, in Berzin Archives, the four conditions according to Vasubandhu is what this section is called. The four conditions according to Vasubandhu. But yeah, I'll send it out the link.
Archives, I didn't know where it was.
I did too, and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, there's two words in Palm Tree, so then the last one, this one, I said, you can't. Among those, there's the last one, this is what they do,
the causal conditions of Jujian. Ju means cause, Jian means you know, conditions. This the Jujian. So just forget about the Sanskrit, so I also don't know. Okay. all the causes that have the power to produce a specific result. This refers to the five types of causes other than acting causes. The first one, the one that's missing in steps called causal conditions. Causal conditions. Causal jijeo. Jijeo. So what is it? The second one is called focal conditions that which present the aspect of itself to be an object of cognition. In this case, so if we are talking about eye consciousness perceiving the green, in that case green is that focal condition. Okay, the green is the focal condition. That which presents an aspect of itself to be an object of cognitions. Make sense? Huh?
Sure. That's all the same thing.
Because the very eye consciousness has been called eye consciousness that perceiving green because of green. Otherwise, it could call like eye consciousness perceiving yellow. Doesn't call eye consciousness perceiving yellow because the very eye consciousness is looking at green. So that eye consciousness is called eye consciousness perceiving green. Make sense? So that object green is become the focal conditions called mikke. Okay, there's a second one. In the correct order here. That doesn't mean it's incorrect order because the commentary that I've been using, I've been studying the monastery, there's the order like this. First one is causal conditions. That means any cause of the eye consciousness, the perceiving green, any cause that's the same, or any condition is the same, The first one. Second one is called focal condition called mikke. Tamaki umika mikke here. Which is the juje mikke dage. So the third one is called dominating conditions. Dominating conditions. Dage. It's like I sense power. And when we are talking about eye consciousness, that's eye sense power. That's like the dominating conditions, eye sense power. Without that, eye consciousness cannot see any object at all. In order for eye consciousness to see the object, it is rely heavily on uncommon condition. In this case, it's like eye sense power. It's uncommon conditions. Why it's called uncommon? That only produce eye consciousness. It doesn't produce nose consciousness. This was uncommon. Then there's common condition. That's like refers to mental consciousness. Mental consciousness. Uncommon condition. Common condition. Uncommon conditions. Eye sense power is the uncommon condition for eye consciousness. Uncommon means that they share between those five senses. Each one is unique, Makes sense? Dominating conditions. Because eye sense power only dominate eye consciousness. It doesn't dominate ear consciousness. That's called uncommon. When you see the definition of eye consciousness, in the definition uncommon, something, that's what it means. It doesn't share between those senses. That's called dakje. That which produce the essential nature of something such as the eye sensor for the visual consciousness and concurrent mental factor of visual conditions, the condition is called dominating, literally overload conditions, because it rules what the essential nature of its results will be. Then So the last one is called immediately preceding conditions. So just think about that. You know, when we are looking at some object, you know, so maybe that's like, maybe I'll read this, a little bit difficult to explain. Immediately preceding conditions called deko tematake. The immediately preceding moment of awareness, which produced the appearance, making, and cognizing, clarity and awareness of the next moment of awareness as a result. Only primarily consciousness and mental factors have immediately preceding conditions. Can you read? Maybe your English is better pronunciation. Maybe I don't know how to break.
The immediately preceding conditions.
Oh, yeah. When you read this, you understand?
Yeah.
No, that's good.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah, if you don't understand, this is a time to know, to discuss, then I will explain, you know.
The immediately preceding moment of awareness, which produces the appearance-making and cognizing of the next moment of awareness as its result. Only primary consciousness and mental factors have immediately preceding conditions.
Does it make sense?
So when it says only primary consciousness and mental factors, the primary consciousnesses are the five sense consciousnesses and the mental consciousness, right? And then what's the mental factors? Are those omnipresent mental factors that are present for all of them, or all 51 mental factors is he talking about?
I don't think it's all 51 or not 51. So that just refers to the mental consciousness.
So the 51, I'm sorry, what refers to the mental
consciousness? Six mental consciousness.
So there's the five primary, there's the six primary consciousnesses, right? So it refers to that. But then it says, and the primary consciousnesses and the mental factors. So are we talking about all the mental factors or just the omnipresent mental factors that are there for all six consciousnesses? That's, I guess, the question.
So mental...
Maybe it's not that important, but...
In the relative truth and ultimate truth, it said the preceding condition... Somebody says this is the same definition. Is the preceding moment of consciousness that allows the next moment of consciousness to arise. So that's so simple. It's much simpler. Is it the same thing? So if you have jealousy, it's not going to lead you to another a moment of love. Love, the next moment wouldn't lead you to jealousy.
But the gap is very short. You know, we can hardly recognize the gap. Is not like, or like after like 5 minutes, so then the eye consciousness will. It's not like it's very short. See, right before that six mental consciousness arise, right before the eye consciousness perceive any object, that right before the six mental consciousness arise. So that consciousness is the, how is it?
Immediately preceding condition.
Yeah, tamatake. So that's what it's like. When that, and the function of the consciousness is to some case it refers to self-knower. Self-knower, no, do you remember the particular mind self-knower? That only corresponds with the consciousness. It doesn't correspond with the object. No, only perceive eye consciousness. Self-knower, eye consciousness, only interact with eye consciousness. No. So now, can you read the explanation a little bit slowly?
The immediately preceding moment of awareness.
See, it's not the five senses. Five sense consciousness is the sixth mental consciousness. Okay, that one refers to sixth mental consciousness. Can you read it again, please?
The immediately preceding moment of awareness.
That's before. It's not after, it's before. That's before?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. The immediately preceding moment of awareness, which produces the appearance making and cognizing.
Did you say wait before?
Well, preceding means before.
Ah, preceding, okay. Right before. It's not like 5 minutes before, 10 minutes before. Right before. Right before.
Yeah, immediately preceding is right before. Yeah.
Immediately, that's good to know. Immediately preceding.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Well, tell me. Immediately preceding.
Moment of awareness.
Moment of awareness. That awareness is not the five sense consciousness. It's the sixth mental consciousness. Okay. Tell me.
Which produces.
So that is the one called.
The immediately preceding condition.
Out of four conditions, that's the one. So now can you read them?
Yeah. The immediately preceding moment of awareness, which produces the appearance making and cognizing of the next moment of awareness.
That is eye consciousness. For example, eye consciousness corresponding with green. So that refers to that, okay? We have to take example, otherwise if we just live in general, it's going to be confused. So let's just stick with the eye consciousness perceiving green. So that's eye consciousness perceiving green. That's that.
And then it says, so the appearance making and cognizing of the next moment of awareness as its result. Then it says only primary consciousness and mental factors have immediately preceding conditions. Only primary consciousness and mental factors have immediately preceding conditions.
Primary consciousness and the mental factors. That also refers to the six senses.
But not the other.
Mental factors? Well, does consciousness?
Well, I mean, that was a question that Shankar was asking, was when we talk about the mental factors here, do we mean the 51 mental factors? Do we mean
the
omnipresent mental factors?
Yeah, not the faculty. It's like, that's all 51. Yeah, all 51 mental factors. Because see, now, the form doesn't have that. Form doesn't have that. What do you call this?
Immediately preceding condition.
Yeah, form doesn't have that. It has to be consciousness. Right? So therefore it says all the...
Only primary consciousness?
Only. Out of form, there's three things, right? Form. Certain group of things called form. And within that, there's sound, there's tactile, visual, everything that include everything that include in that category, form. Then there's consciousness. So there's all this 51 mental factors goes into that. So then there's another existing thing, such as week, day, year, impermanent, and like self, person, all of that falls into non-compositional factors. Neither consciousness nor form, but they do exist. So there's three things. So out of that, only consciousness has that. Form doesn't have. Then the other category, like the existence, is neither form nor consciousness, such as no year, week, day, no like impermanent, emptiness, then also self, all of that, don't have that. So that's what only refute. Make sense? Can you say, what's the only?
Only primary consciousness and mental factors have immediately preceding conditions.
Primary consciousness, every consciousness, when you talk about the 51 mental factors, there's like 5 omnipresent mental factors.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with, when they say primary consciousness, you know, it's like the main one, the main. Then the with that, there's like has a feeling, oh, so and like oh, this is green, like that, you know. This is called all secondary mental factors. These are not primary, you know. So every like mind comes with the 5 omnipresent mental factors. So the, if that mind is as a corresponding with object correctly, then there's like valid cognitions. Then there's mind comes to 10. There's 10 mental factors that comes with that. But 5, that's every primary consciousness comes with the 5. That if they're not consciousness, but say for mind, primary mind, but they better stick to one word, sometimes say mind, consciousness. We are not talking about consciousness that takes different life form, life out of life, not that consciousness, it's just mind. Primary mind, generally speaking, comes with the 5 mental, omnipresent mental factor that comes with every primary mind that goes with. Then if that primary mind corresponding with the object correctly means like if that primary mind is valid, so then there's 10 of them that comes with that. So then those are, you know, the 51 mental factors. When you see there's all the listed there. You know? So there's like primary mind, as a, for example, Tsoa, December, Rabba, Yulati, Tsoa, such as a feeling. You know, feeling? Seeing something that, you know, that consciousness, seeing beautiful flowers, that very consciousness, prime, that's called primary consciousness. Because it corresponds with the object independently. That's called primary. Then all the other, you know, like feeling, that if you remember the rest, you know, Tsoa, Dishe, Semba, Rakpa, Hilachava, there's 5 of them. Those also correspond with the object, not independently, dependently, depending on the eye consciousness, then that's how they correspond, you know, with the object. So that's why they become secondary mental factors. Those are not, does not call primary. These are not like independently corresponding with object. That's like corresponding with the object, heavily relying on this primary eye consciousness. Without that, they cannot correspond with the object. So that's called mental factors, you know, secondary mental factors. You see a primary, this is a primary, or then has a primary and all the other mental factors.
It only says mental factors here.
Mental factors. Same thing. Those 51, those are like secondary mental factors. These are not primary. All of them is not primary mind. This all comes with primary mind. See? And mainly primary mind corresponds with the entity of the object, entity. It doesn't say, oh, it's red, or it's green, it's big, it's small, it's like white. Those all done by secondary mental factors. All this, all the other primary and mental factors.
Here it only says mental factors,
yeah,
but I think usually we say secondary.
Right? Yeah, this is all done by, all this judgment is done by mental factors. So not the primary mind corresponds to the entity of the object. Green, that's it, no? It's too bright, it's like too dark, all of that. Not attractive, anything. This is all done by all these mental factors. That's called primary, non-primary. So then, now it makes sense? Okay. Now that's all?
That's all for the immediately preceding condition.
Mm-hmm. So among those, this is the most difficult one. Among those 4 conditions, this is the most difficult.
So the immediately preceding condition of a moment, previously preceding moment of awareness, but the form and those non-form things like self and day and week, they have immediate preceding moment, but it's not a moment of awareness.
Yeah, exactly. They have like immediate preceding moment, but that's not awareness. The awareness only comes, but has immediately preceding. Immediately preceding consciousness.
Consciousness.
The awareness, same awareness. That only cause happen to the consciousness, not the form.
Right. So that term immediately preceding condition is kind of, I mean, that's the way it was written there, but it's really immediately preceding moment of awareness.
Yeah, so when you look at the definition, then it's clearly awareness.
Okay.
So the definition, but what's the definition, then what you call another one? So,
division?
No, division. What is it called? What is the definition of impermanent? What is impermanent? What do you call impermanent?
Oh, the term?
No. Definition, that's called thingy. Then division, that's called earwad. No, that's division. Then illustration, that's another one. So what do you call that? The object that you're defining through the definition, what do you call?
A term.
Or something called, we call tsunja. Tsunja means that. Tsunji means definitions. Iyawa means divisions. Tsishi means illustrations.
Thing being defined.
Yeah, it's a thing being defined.
Definendum, that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm. So, that's easy because that's how the philosophy text been studied. Tsunja, everybody knows that you are talking about, you are not talking about divination, you are talking about something to be defined. In this case, permanent, impermanent, called tsunja. Then tsunyi, definition. Tsunshi, that's like, illustrations. Then yewa, that's like divisions, or illustration, whatever. So then, the tsunjengi dewa, so then analyzing whether there's like relationship between those that definition and like the things to be defined. Since there are this whole chapter that's written about that.
I'm sorry, Geshe-la. They talk about each school and how it's broken up.
Mm-hmm.
In each school. It says definition, divisions, etymology, the way of asserting objects, the way of asserting object possessors, then the presentation of the grounds and the path. Is that what you were referring to?
Actually, that's like, can you read the first part?
Yes. The first one is definition. The second one is division.
Yeah, before that, it's not that. So the things that I'm trying to discuss here, like this before definitions. Term, like, so that's definition, that's called thingy, that's called definitions. So then second one?
Division.
That's called yewa, that's called division, didn't it?
Etymology.
That's called dashe, yeah.
Then the way of exerting objects or...
Oh, you did. So that's like, what is it, referendum or something?
I have to look it up. It's something like that.
Anyway, next time when you see that kind of term, that's what it means. It means something that, through the definition, you are trying to define something. Whether there's like permanent or impermanent, how you tell, you only tell through definitions. Everything has definitions. It's called tsunja. I'm not sure why I'm just bringing this up. I'm not sure. So, So now see, is it moving down, if we don't understand, we move down, doesn't make sense, so then, right? If you read, again, if you read further down, everybody wants to finish the materials. When we finish, then there's no clue. So what is when you finish, then that's not good. So now the last one, this called the tematache. What's the name of the in English?
Focal condition?
No,
the dominating condition? Dominating?
No.
The causal condition.
No, we just one day we just read.
Oh, immediately preceding condition.
Yeah, immediately preceding consciousness. Okay, immediately preceding consciousness. Immediately preceding.
Yeah, condition.
Immediately preceding consciousness. Tamapati. Immediately preceding consciousness. These are more like literally translated word by word. Tamapati. So now, see, ngunzu jingalo tamapati juwe. What he says, awareness, like the immediately preceding consciousness. So we will stick with the eye consciousness perceiving green, okay? We'll stick with that example. Eye consciousness preceding green. We'll stick with that. So now, based on that, so we now we'll talk about this. Immediately preceding consciousness.
Immediately preceding condition is.
Yeah, immediately preceding conditions. Does it make sense? Now, please tell me. So now, the example that we are going to use is like eye consciousness perceiving green. So that eye consciousness, it sounds much better in Tibetan. But it's more sounds more complicated in English, but sorry, there's nothing we can do. Eye consciousness perceiving green. So that's example. So now we all talk about immediately preceding conditions. So that is, does now that make sense?
Can you review the first?
There's another consciousness before, like eye consciousness perceiving green, right before or like immediately preceding awareness, or right before, same. Immediately preceding awareness. What? Green. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. If it makes sense, it's good. No, so there is because that is very, it's not just 5 minutes that immediately preceding green awareness. Can you say immediately preceding green? Awareness?
The awareness of green. Immediately
preceding the awareness of green. Immediately preceding awareness of green. Between that and the eye consciousness perceiving green, the gap is very, very short, so you will hardly recognize that gap, but there is gap. See? Oh, this is so quick now, when you hold piece of incense. When you go around like this, you end up seeing circle. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's no circle. There's like gap. But you can see it goes so fast. You cannot see the gap. But there's gap. There's no circle. No, there's gap. But we see there's no gap. That means there's so, how you say, it's so fast. Similar like that, how you say, immediately proceeding. Mm-hmm.
Moment of awareness.
We stick with the green.
Oh, immediately preceding awareness of green.
Immediately preceding awareness of green. See, that comes right before the eye consciousness perceiving green. Does it make sense?
Well, I have to perceive it.
Huh?
Preceding before.
Okay. Well, you have to have a sense perception. I assume you're not talking about that. I assume you're not talking about the label, right? The label green.
Hmm.
That must come later in this. Is that not correct?
Yeah, label green, yeah, come later. Yeah, that's correct. So some of probably people may not know, like, 2 years old kids, you know, they probably have no idea green was green or no, was yellow. But they, how is it? No, it's this. Then this get a little bit complicated, you know. So like,
I sense has to discriminate the green from a red, in any case, whether it's labeled or not.
So it's now getting a little bit complicated, but seeing green, knowing green, two different things, you know, seeing green or knowing green. So knowing green, yeah, you have to rely on labels. Without relying on level, you are not going to go, you are not going to know the green. So now, so now there's debate, you know, like, somebody who does not know, who don't know the level green, who don't know green or level green, I'm not sure, like, grass is green or blue. Huh? The green in Tibet is called Jangu. Jangu means green. Ngumbu means blue. So all Tibetan people say blue grass. So, Jangu, Ngumbu. Even the Vinayaka Sutras does say blue grass. You know, so hard to say. So maybe grass used to be blue, so now we polluted it, it's become green. So maybe it's become going to become yellow. In the Vinayaka Sutra says, don't have a litter on blue grass. Means just to leave the grass as like that, don't litter on them. So there's a part of the vows, no? Don't do litter on the blue grass. That was the Sangha Mizadhani. So, yeah, the sky, we say same. In Tibet, we say blue sky. We all say blue sky. Same. So, Kantaki is probably just that all the people who live in the Kantaki, they're the reincarnation of Tibetan people. After all the Tibetan people. All the people that they killed in Tibet, reincarnated in Kantaki. That's like influence, tendency influence. So now, regardless whether you understand the level green, yellow, red or not, even the child or baby, small, everybody, when they look at the prayer flags, are we all seeing 5 different colors? But we are all seeing the press like there's 5 different colors. Even the kids, you know, 1-year-old baby will see the like press legs. But you know, some of say, okay, I then you know, doesn't mean you know, they know level green, red. There's different between seeing something and knowing something. You can say, I know. When you say, I know, then you means, when you say, I know green, that means that you know that. But no, you can't just say, just seeing green, you cannot just say, oh, I know green. But no. Make sense? This is like, you know, the debate, or any debate.
I have a question, Geshe-la. So, you know, these 4 conditions that we're speaking about, right? How do they, so what I don't understand, how do they tie into what we are talking about? So how does it tie into valid cognition and existence and all those things?
So we are reading somewhere.
The first one, what's the... Can you just review them? Yeah, so it was when, wasn't it when we were talking about the uncommon empowering condition that's in the yogic valid direct perceiving?
Yeah, yeah. So that's how it's come from. Like, when we say uncommon conditions, when we're like studying the definition of direct yogic perceiver, Right?
Yogic valid
yeah.
Direct perceiver.
Naja Musum. So the definition, that's uncommon. Can you read the definition?
A wisdom consciousness that clearly realizes subtle impermanence or gross or subtle selflessness of persons, having depended upon a concentration that is the union of tranquil abiding and special insight as its uncommon empowering condition.
Yeah, that's where all these things come from. Empowering uncommon conditions. Then I explained that uncommon means, it's only produced yogic direct perceive. It doesn't produce any other consciousness. So that's called dajjen. That's one of the conditions. One of the conditions called?
That's the dominating condition.
Yeah, dominating condition. That's what it is, dominating conditions. So then I just want you to know the rest. Three, the object. That's like focal conditions. So because dominating...
Yeah, dominating condition.
Dominating condition. That's what is uncommon. That's dominating conditions. So then I want you to know that there's three more, than focal condition, this object. So then there's causal condition, there's every cause. So then immediately perceiving conditions. So that's why all this comes.
And so these are the four conditions of something to arise in our consciousness. These are four conditions of what?
Every direct valid perceiver. Direct, valid, chema, what's it called?
Yeah, valid direct perceiver.
Valid direct perceivers have to have those four conditions. Otherwise, they are not going to be valid at all.
Can you help me understand the dominating condition besides being... Give me an example with green, what the dominating condition would be for eye sense power seeing green.
Eye sense power.
Okay, but eye sense power we have is one of the three. We have form, eye sense power, and previous moment of consciousness. Those are three. But then it's still three.
So we have causal conditions. Causal conditions, there's one. And focal condition, there's two. Dominated condition, there's three. Then immediately perceiving. How is it?
Yeah, immediately preceding condition.
Condition, there's four.
Okay. You just said four twice. These are the four causal conditions. The four causal conditions are dominating condition, form, eye sense, power, and previous moment.
That's called four conditions. Doesn't call four causal conditions. That's called four conditions.
Okay, so four conditions.
The first one is causal conditions.
And these are the four conditions of valid direct perception. That's what I was asking. I wasn't sure what the four conditions of. These are four conditions of valid direct perception.
Yeah. Valid direct perceiver.
A valid direct perceiver. Okay. Mm.
The causal condition is the same as condition. There's not much different. That's why it's making it a little bit more complicated. I don't blame you.
Yeah, the first one is hard.
Yeah, first one is it's just worded there, but it's not different than any other cause. It's just
because
maybe they like to have more numbers.
Yeah, because the next three are the causes. They are the causes.
Yeah, so they are not contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not same. It's not contradictions. No, they are even in Tibetan, called Jujian. That's a causal condition. That's literally terms of causal conditions. Could be dominating conditions. Could be one of those. One of the next three. No.
Okay, thank you very much.
You see, one important thing, then you wonder why they listed four, because last three is the first one. Between the first one and the last three, the second one could be the first one too. Mm-hmm. See, that's what, mm-hmm. this the question arise. No, this very reasonable question to arise. So now from here, see, for example, your parent could be the causal condition. Your parent.
Right.
Oh, see. Or your previous karma could be the causal condition. But those are causal conditions, but it's not one of those next three. See, in order to be one of those next three, has to be consciousness, right? To be dominating conditions, so there has to be sense power, right? Am I making sense? No. Causal condition does not have to be consciousness. That's why it listed there, because no, it's causal conditions much bigger. It could be your parents, everything before eye consciousness perceiving green, everything before.
Then am I hearing correctly that you're saying it's the causal conditions of the object or
causal condition of the eye consciousness.
Causal condition of the eye.
Eye consciousness perceiving green, the example. Eye consciousness perceiving green, it has four conditions, right? The first one is called causal conditions. Make sense?
Yes.
I know there's four, but I'm not sure what the causal conditions are. It sounds that, like, if you're going to have green, then you're going to have...
Oh, green is also causal condition, too.
Okay.
That's the focal conditions. And the dominant conditions, and like, I said now, like, forgetting this, how to say it in English, immediately preceding conditions, also causal conditions. So now you wonder why they're listed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because causal condition has a dominant condition has to be sense. Faculty. See, faculty, it has to be a faculty. Faculty?
Mm.
Right? Could be uncommon faculty, that refers to eye faculty, or common faculty, that's like six mental faculty. That's common. The dominant condition. The immediately preceding condition, that has to be consciousness, awareness. Right?
Mm.
So then the focal condition, that's the object. In this case, it has to be green.
Mm.
Right? So the causal condition, there's many, many. It doesn't have to be green. It doesn't have to be consciousness, such as everything before that. Could be your parent, your karma, all kind of things. Huh?
Mm.
See? So that's why now they list it there. Make sense?
They don't list it in this one. They just use three. And then they
No, in here. Well, yeah. What is this?
The relative truth, ultimate truth.
It says
the last
one. Sketchy Tashi Sharing.
Yeah.
Sketchy Tashi
Sharing. No.
It says the cause, since this is a causal relationship, it also has a temporal aspect, in that the flower is the cause, and as such perceives the mind that apprehends it, which is the result. Is that the same thing that you're talking about?
No. So everybody please read this. Elect the burden. These are the ones I'm talking about. There's four conditions. So. And if you know, like, Dan Purdue, there's one professor, he already translated this book in English, so that's called Duda. There's like small, middle, the big, so they're all the trans, he already translated, I think. That's where you find, that's what I'm reading here. So that's the textbook that we study in the monastery. It's about cause and effect. So this now, causal conditions, see, you now understand why they're listed differently. Causal conditions could be your mother, could be my. Your parents are causal conditions. Your karma is causal conditions. But they are not dominated conditions because not faculty. This is not like focal condition is not in this case not green. No? And it is like is not like immediately perceiving conditions and because it's not consciousness, it's not awareness. Even though the last three they are causal conditions, but then why they listed the four? But that's the reason. Makes sense?
So, Geshe-la, just to clarify, I think you
otherwise, all this effort has been wasted. So make sure that you understand, even though last three conditions are causal conditions, then you wonder why they're listed differently, because within the causal conditions, some of them are not last three, one of them. One of them, that's why. Now, say.
And so these four conditions...
Hmm.
You have to have all four of them for a valid direct perceiver.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh? Four?
Yeah, it's four. The focal or the base, right?
Oh.
I sense consciousness.
No.
Oh, to help, to help, help.
It's not one of the examples.
I got this focal.
Yeah.
Okay, we got the focal thing, right?
Huh?
That's like a base, right?
Huh? That's a base, yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the I sense, right?
No,
you see a color, right?
Well, the faculty in...
Faculty.
Yeah, that's true.
I sense faculty.
That's true.
Okay, that, then doesn't it go to an I sense consciousness? Or is there something...
I sense consciousness is the one, that's the one, has four conditions.
So the consciousness, in order to have consciousness
arrive,
you have to have four conditions and four
consciousness. Okay, well, I guess I'm missing the last...
I consciousness is an example.
Okay.
So now you go two, right? Focals, that's the base.
Yes.
That's green.
Yeah.
So then the faculty, that's like...
the eye sensor.
Yeah, eye sensor, that's true. So then...
Then there's the moment of awareness, the immediately preceding moment of awareness.
That's called like immediately perceiving conditions. That's three.
Okay.
Immediately preceding conditions.
You're aware of something there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, before. Okay.
So then the last one.
Is the causal condition.
Causal conditions.
The causal condition. Now, and it causes what? The green? Or what? Huh?
It could be your parents.
Yeah.
It could be anything. Could be anything.
Well, not anything, but you know, it could be like anything before your eye consciousness. You know, could be your karma, could be your, It's your karma, your parents.
Then it's a mental consciousness and it's rejection.
It's not a consciousness.
Huh?
It's a mental consciousness and it's projection. Your mind is projecting on what the other three.
It's not a consciousness. Everything before consciousness
is fixed in that. Could be consciousness. It doesn't have to be consciousness. It could be like parents, karma, and also there's consciousness too. Parents, consciousness too.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that fourth would be a projection, a projected consciousness. It would be something that comes from your karma, your experience, or your knowledge, or something.
Make sense? Yeah, need to help. So your English is much better. Need to help. You already understand the four conditions?
You're talking about the causal?
Yeah.
Talking about number four here, which we got two. Yeah, I guess you call it causal. Right?
Yeah, but those are all four conditions for a valid direct perceiver.
Okay, but then what you're saying is that the last condition isn't some kind of a mental projection.
Actually, it's the first. We just said it wrong. The first one is what they call causal.
All right,
causal.
Just write it down.
Yes.
Condition.
Yeah, so it needs to help.
It's the base, right? The focal.
No.
Someone. Yeah. Somebody who has no that perfect English. Somebody who speaks perfect English doesn't talk.
Number
number one, we have causal conditions.
Perfect English doesn't help.
Somebody tell.
Now there's like focal condition, second and focal condition.
Focal condition. Okay, number three. Dominating?
Yeah, dominating.
And the fourth one, Gashavan?
There's like immediately preceding conditions.
Right, immediately.
I'm also learning the first time he just was sent.
Focal. We're obviously using the eye sensor.
No. It's just what is focused on?
The object.
Okay, so just the object. That's my meaning.
The object.
Okay.
The
general may say the base. The same. The base. There's a base.
This is the faculty.
Faculties.
Immediately preceding is the mental consciousness that arises immediately before before our seeing.
The moment of awareness,
right.
Immediately preceding awareness.
So the moment, this is the moment of awareness.
But it's immediately preceding moment.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah. And this is the things that produce the green.
No, the thing that produces eye consciousness.
The valid direct perceiver.
The causal condition. What is the causal condition? If I'm seeing green, what is the causal condition?
Green also causal condition. All the rest three are causal conditions.
Every cause. All the causes. Green itself.
And all that, then the before.
The other three?
Plus, if you were born, your karma.
Karma, all of that.
So does that match up now with what we're talking about?
Okay, well, I'm just wondering because...
You were talking about projected factors, et cetera.
Well, what I want to do is I assume we're ruling out a mental projection here and we're looking at something real.
Right, that's why it's valid direct perception.
It's not inferential.
These are four conditions.
That's good. That is divine.
Right. I don't have the mic, so.
In monastery, when you go to the monastery, if you are not familiar with all these debate things, people from outside, sometimes they think, like, oh, they are fighting, or maybe they are practicing Kung Fu. But, they are not fighting, they are not practicing Kung Fu, they are just debating, going back and forth.
So, I mean, there's no projected factors because we're just perceiving. This is just perception.
Direct
perception, in fact. It's valid direct perception. So, projection of factors involves conception, right?
And it's new and inconsistent.
Or maybe not. Actually, that's not true. But
Keep it simple.
So, anyway, So the projected factor.
So more debate is required. So maybe more debate. Maybe slow. Yeah. So the title.
Four conditions.
Of. Yeah. Of. Yeah.
Of valid. Direct perceiver.
So I can read I cannot understand the Shankar's handwriting. So when you debate, in debate, when you look at their face, they are all very serious when you debate. So there's a part of the debate, You can't just laugh, You have to be serious. Dong Zaril now. Dong means your face. Has to be wrathful as a rocky mountain. Your face. That's of course. They're saying Dong Zaril now. Drug is like rocky mountain. Same. Mind has to be white as snow mountain. Same karmika. So that means there's nothing happening. It's just debate. So even though they look really kind of, debate courtyard, they kind of look, shout at each other, looks like they're going to slam to each other, but that's not going to happen. Because that's how the face has to look. The Zarib is, Rocky Mountain, So the mind has to be pure as a white mountain, snow mountain. same kind of colors.
In English, it's referred to as being assertive, being as opposed to aggression.
Assertive.
That means asserting, expressing very forcefully.
Yeah, expressing like, or maybe appearing as a like Rocky Mountain.
Right.
But yeah, the mind is like white as a snow mountain. It's pure. It's not there's no like or there's. So yeah.
I'm sorry to ask you another question on this. But
no, that's okay. That's very good.
But I'm not clear about why the causal condition is listed separate or what the three. You know, remember we talked about the three and the one. What, can you repeat that again? I didn't get it.
So next three, you know, these are all causal conditions.
Right.
Next three. So there's, it's not just that the causal condition in that category, under that category, there's more than three.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The tree doesn't
everything.
So there's some of them doesn't capture by next tree, such as karma, parents, and all of that.
Right.
So that's why they're listed there. See? So Steve has the legitimate question. So I think that question is very reasonable question. So that, you know, that clear all this. See, you know, next time, you know, who knows? Maybe you may end up teaching Tenet, so then if somebody asks you.
Pretty sure that's not going to happen. There's no causal condition for that over here.
We need karma, I guess.
No love. I never thought that I'm going to come to America, teach Tenet. I never thought.
In English.
Yeah, exactly. In English, yeah. See, that's another point. You know. So I never thought that I'm in need of teaching Tenet in English, Burgi English. You never know. So then you will be grateful next time when you end up teaching tennis. So now you know if somebody asks, if some could be in Tibetan too. So then you will have deep sympathy for me. So then you know, if someone asks this question, then you know Tell me this. So then, we have now some time. So now read the materials a little bit, okay? So I think everybody's understanding is improving, obtaining is improving. You know, the reason because I asked last week, there's a couple of questions, people answer. You know, these are debate questions. So now we read, so can you really stop?
I think we were here, Geshe-la. Inference through renown is pervaded by inference by the power of the fact. Am I in the right place?
Then, talk about that. I would just want to ask again. A very hidden phenomena. This is, I say, free of what called three profound analysis. The moon is called Brevet, something holder.
An example of the third, is that what?
Yeah.
Hmm.
An example of the third is an inferential cognition? No.
Hmm.
Is
that the third? Oh, yeah.
There are three divisions of valid inferential cognition.
Hmm. So now the one that's called the rabbit.
Right.
That's the second.
Okay, so an example of the second is an inferential cognizer that realizes that rabbit bearer is suitable to be called by the term moon by the reason that it is an object of conception.
Then let's go on.
An example of the third is an inferential cognizer that realizes the instruction from giving arises wealth, from practicing morality arises happiness.
Please continue.
Is incontrovertible with respect to the meaning indicated by it, by the reason that it is an instruction certified by a threefold investigation.
Oh, so now that all the covers are threefold investigation, isn't it?
Inference through renown is pervaded by inference by the power of the fact. Direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Okay, so now that one, so you still remember I asked that question that you answered very correctly. So can you say this again?
Direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Why not?
Second moment of
No, no, so it needs to be more clear, it needs to be more clear. Jill needs to be more precise. more precise.
The second moment of awareness.
No, the awareness, there's all kinds of awareness.
Okay, second moment.
No, here, first.
Second moment of perceiving.
Oh, need to be more precise. So there's with the...
Direct perceivers.
Oh, direct perceivers.
Are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Okay, so the word direct, so that needs to be just, I'm saying more, need to be more precise, not just awareness. Okay? So there's, so first listen.
And inferential cognition.
No, the direct perceivers.
Direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Why not? So now you said it, but now you need to be a little more precise.
So because direct perceiver is a second moment of consciousness of perceiving, and the valid is
second moment of direct valid
perceiving.
Direct valid perceiver is. So now there are two things. Okay, now two things. There's direct valid perceiver, and there's direct perceiver. Right?
Yeah.
So now which is not pervaded by what?
The direct perceiver is not pervaded by the valid direct perceiver.
Yeah, direct perceiver is not... There's two things.
Yeah.
So now there's like... if something is... There's like circle A... has direct perceivers. There's a circle A. Circle B, there's a direct valid perceiver. So if something is this and that has to be this, there's like, so that's what it means. How many possibility, we only talk about how many possibility between direct perceiver and direct valid perceiver, how many possibility between these two? So there are three, that's exactly right. So now, then through that, then you understand this. So now, give me the three.
It can be both.
Yeah, both, that's one. So, that's good. Both, that's one, first one.
It can be both?
Yeah, just give me example.
Whenever a direct perceiver perceives the object for the first time, then it becomes a valid direct perceiver.
And?
When it's both.
And? Both, and that becomes direct valid perceiver and?
And valid direct perceiver.
Both. Okay, very good. So now there's one possibility. Then the second.
One is, it is a direct perceiver, but not a valid direct perceiver.
Yeah, example.
Example would be seeing green the next moment after seeing it first time.
So the best way to say it is like second moment of direct valid perceiver. That's the best way to say it. Second moment of direct valid perceiver. Okay. That is not, that's valid, that's direct perceiver, and it's not direct valid perceiver. Because it is called something else. Subsequent conscious, subsequent. Yeah, subsequent. Yeah, that's called. Okay. So that's second, that's two. Now three?
The third one would be valid direct perceiver, but not
now you are,
direct perceiver.
Now you are about to get ta. Or maybe you're about to get like, now you're about to get, how is it, defender? Okay, how is it, challenger? It's about to go court. So that is your head is now spinning. Neither. That's the third one. Neither, you know. Could be
that would be like inferral inferential.
Inferential cognizer. That could be, if you are thinking about finding something within the awareness, then you can say inferential cognizer of seeing smoke on the mountain. Or you can see just cup, me, you know, the wall. So now the one you are about to say, that is, if that exists, then there's four possibilities. Right? Yeah, there's only three. So you are about to say that's not exist. See? The last one neither. So that's very good. So that's, you know, that requires, you know, understanding. that requires some understanding. See, that's not easy. That's how they ask. That's not easy. That requires some thinking. You know, whenever you talk of possibilities.
The possibility of a cup, which doesn't fall in the circle at all, basically, either circle, right? That's what we're talking about,
yeah.
Right? It's not a valid direct perceiver, neither is it a direct perceiver.
Yeah,
right?
This is out of the circle.
So why is that even a possibility? It's not even relevant, right? We're talking about...
No. Usually when you talk about possibility, there's always four, three, one. Within four, there's like, one is like both. One
right.
is... Yeah, that's how the
wait a minute though. But it's just like the same as saying something that is a cup, which can't be either valid direct perceiver or a direct perceiver, is also kind of similar to something that, you know, the other possibility, which is not possible, which is that it's a valid direct perceiver, but not a direct perceiver.
Well,
that's not possible, right? I mean, those two either...
No. Usually, like, when you talk about possibilities, how many possibilities are there?
Right. I mean, in this case, there can be four, but one of them really isn't a possibility, right?
Well, in this case, there's no four. There's only three.
Well,
there's no four. In this case, there's no four.
Right. In this case...
No, could be. No, it's impossible.
Well, I mean, anything is evading, there could be four, and now this one has three.
No, this one has only three. This does not have four. Even four is not possibilities.
Four
possibilities between direct perceiver and the direct body perceiver doesn't exist. When you talk about possibility, you have to talk about two things. Now we are talking about how many possibilities between direct perceiver and direct valid perceiver. So the four possibilities between those two things, impossible.
But what I'm saying is that the third possibility, which is that something that's not a valid direct perceiver and neither is a direct perceiver, like a cup,
yeah,
is not really a possibility either.
It is a possibility. So
no, but I mean, it doesn't even fall in the...
No, then you are going against the book.
Okay, got you're right.
Going against the book. Because this going against the book is
okay.
Like,
all right.
That's when you study, there's four possibilities, there you count. Yeah.
It could be four,
not between this, but it could be four. Yeah, so that's, I'm asking generally how many possibilities. We are talking about four possibilities between impermanent and prayer will. Between impermanent and prayer will, how many possibilities? There's four possibilities. Between impermanent and prayer will.
What do you mean between them? Like, what do you mean? What's the relationship? You mean there's four possible relationships between impermanence and prayer will, or pervasion, or what do you...
I don't think now, probably we don't understand the possibilities. Let's go...
direct perceiver and subsequent direct perceiver.
Now it's getting more complicated.
Do they pervade each other?
No. No, not at all. No. They're very well so far. Just one second. So, otherwise, anyone's going to be, including myself. My head only went many times like this, had this, so many years in the monastery. So I don't want to go again. Possibilities. So you understand possibility?
No.
It's called mu, no mu, mu. That doesn't help. It's called in Tibet. It's called mu. That doesn't help. Mushi, mushi means poor possibility. Muslim. So you are saying how many possibilities between cup and the prayer wheel?
What does that mean, Geshe-la?
Probably need to do 100,000 processes.
Do you mean
maybe 100,000 second related to stupa.
Do you mean like the things that they have in common? The four possible combination, four things they have in common, or four ways of relating?
Yeah. That's probably the best way to say it.
Okay.
May I give example. Yeah. Between the cup and the prayer wheel, how many possibilities?
Infinite.
Huh?
Many.
Well, they're on the same plane.
Why do you tell us first? Because otherwise we're just...
Say what the possibilities are.
Yeah, I guess.
Neither is already there, you know, like something that's nor cup, neither prayer will, this book. One possibility is already there, one possibility.
Right.
Does it ring any bell?
Yeah.
What kind of bell?
Four different kinds of bells.
No, based on that, doesn't make sense. Now, how many possibilities between the cup and prayer wheel?
Yeah, three.
That doesn't make sense. This question makes sense. Does this question make sense? How many possibilities between cup and prayer wheel? The book is one. There's no cup and neither prayer wheel. There's one. There's one possibility, it's very clear. So now there's how many left?
Three.
Something is cup, that's not prayer wheel, that's this cup. That's two. Make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe, John, you say something, John. That cup, Mike. John, what is the possibility? What is the possibility?
Are we naming them?
Yeah, no, what is the possibility? Like,
you need to debate. In general, what a possibility is?
Well,
the way I think about it is, you draw a Venn diagram. How many? If you draw a Venn diagram, there are four properties, or there's like four contiguous areas. How many of them are non-empty? That's the Western way of doing it.
What is it?
The only way
to
Venn diagram.
Well, the Venn diagram is just a simple way to say both, neither. A and not B, B and not A.
Well,
right, they're those.
I could draw it during this discussion.
It's like geometry, guys. Yeah, it's geometry.
It's geometry.
Yeah, Steve, you understand that now.
Well, then
we know what Venn diagrams, but I'm just trying to understand.
So, come someone here to write down the diagram. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's probably better, you know.
I'll draw them separately.
I have no idea. Diagram. So you to help here. All right.
So Geshe-la, how we learn it in the West. So you have all the things that can be a cup are in this circle. All the things that can be a prayer wheel are in this circle.
Mm.
Everything that can be a cup and a prayer wheel are is common between the two circles. What overlap between the two circles. And everything can be neither cup nor a prayer wheel.
That's one possibility.
Nor prayer wheel.
That's one possibility. That's very common one. Between every two things has that one. No.
Right. So that's the Venn. Yeah. So those are the four possibilities.
Now does it make sense?
Right.
Possibility of both. Both, in this case, is impossible. Between cup and prayer, it's impossible.
If you say yes, if it's impermanent or if it's a product.
For instance,
in the
yeah, the between cup and product.
between
cup and prayer wheel
are both products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're both impermanent.
So then we could draw another circle, another diagram.
No.
This goes pretty. No. Yeah, so now how many possibilities? Yeah, there's now change, it changed. Now the first one is cup, between cup and prayer wheel, now between cup and product, how many possibilities?
No, you're saying the cup and prayer wheel are both products. They fit A and B.
No, Patrick, we are talking about between prayer wheel and cup, how many possibilities between, not product, prayer wheel. So now you can now Patrick, yeah, that Patrick, now you can say between cup and product, how many possibilities? That changed now.
Oh, okay.
It changed.
Yeah,
there's both.
Now there's
I'm done.
All right.
It's not that they share common.
Next is now possibility.
So then three
Yeshua? That's three. Yeah, that's very good. So now you can do that in all kind of things, you know, between person and cup. You know, between person and impermanent, that's like three. Like both. Right? Something that's both cup and permanent. That's like cup itself. It's permanent, it's cup. So both. Neither. Example, neither one.
Space.
Yeah. Emptiness. It's no product, neither cup. Now there's three. Now there's four. Last. There's only three. Three or four, how many possibilities? Three or four?
Between cup and product?
Mm.
Three.
Mm.
Neither?
Both?
Both cup, yeah, which is cup.
Mm.
And then a product, but that's not a cup.
Yeah, product is not a cup.
That's three.
It is not a cup.
Three.
But there's no cup that's not a cup.
Yeah, see, that possibility that exists. There's only three. See, then, it's easy, not that difficult. So that's the result of debate here. There's a result of the dead.
That's why you need
leaders. So see, in the monastery, it's not just 1 hour class. It's like everyday class, everyday. Not just 1 hour, like many, many hours of class and many, many hours of debate. Still people get confused, you know. So then you don't get discouraged, or maybe with 1 hour you don't understand. Yeah, in the monastery, then probably you're going to be depressed all the time. Because it takes like months and months and debate every day. Except Tuesday, every day, debate, go to class, debate in the morning, 4 or 5 hours, in the evening, 4 or 5 hours, every day. And people used to get confused, you know, so. And if you get confused, that's what I'm saying, I don't blame you. Yeah.
I think, you know, we're aware of this. We don't have a word for, like, possibilities doesn't mean what it means to you, so that's part of our problem.
So better to call Mu.
Okay, Mu.
Yeah, Mu.
How many Mu's?
Yeah, how many Mu's? Yeah, Mu. Muni. Muchik means one possibility, Muni means two possibility, Musu means three possibility, Mushi means four possibility. That's how you ask, how many Mu between prayer and cup? Then you say, okay, Muni, Musu, Mushi, so then you say, yeah, it's hard to just right away say, okay, four, you have to think, then you can answer, you know. Now this is easy one, so now when it comes down on ground and path, yeah, so then, you know, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, then your head will really spin, you know, not just slowly. The prayer will, like, controlled by motor. Shankar, now, you understand the move? The possibility? Yeah, So now, you know, here, if you don't understand, you just think about possibilities. So say, now can you read that?
Do
direct perceivers are not pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
Okay, now how are you going to understand? You count possibilities, then you understand that. Then second one.
And inferential cognizers are not pervaded by valid inferential cognizers.
Now that's clear, right? The same, no? Second moment, the same. Didn't it?
Because...
No, just go, okay. Oh, yeah, now the second one.
Because the second moment of a sense direct perceiver apprehending form and the second moment of an inferential cognizer realizing sound as impermanent are instances of subsequent cognizers.
Okay, so now then we cover all the valid cognizers now finished. May require more debate. So now from now on, then we are talking about what? None? Yeah, non-violent cognizer. So, so then I stop. So we have all the valid cognizers. So now we are going to non-violent cognizers.
I have a question.
Yeah, good. Yeah, please go ahead. More questions, good.
This has nothing to do with valid or non-valid cognizers.
Mm-hmm.
But, so... In our material, other material, and in Jeffrey Hopkins, it says, you know, that the Vaivasikas and the Sautantikas following scripture both believe that the definition, you know, when they talk about the definition of the two truths, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the ultimate truth, they believe that they're the partless particles and so forth and so on, right? And that the Sautantikas following reasoning, they believe that the ultimate truth is something that can perform a function, right? So they make those two distinctions. So Sautantikas following scripture versus and what they believe in Sautantikas following reasoning in their definition of ultimate truth. However, in our text, root text, when it talks about the object possessors, mode of object possessors, it doesn't give this distinction. It just says an ultimate truth is something that can perform a function. It seems to imply that all Sautantikas, both scripture and reasoning, have the same definition. Is that, I mean, what am I missing?
Yeah, when it comes down to the two truths, same.
When it comes down to the two truths, it's the same?
Yeah.
So then in some of our, I can look it up, in some of our material that, like the some of those
not everything
charts.
Not everything, but when it comes down to truth, they same way they define the how the ultimate truth, conventional truth, but when it comes down to then valid cognizer, all this, then there's a little bit difference.
Okay, then I have to look at it because I think in our charts they say
yes.
In the chart, the only difference in all the different potential boxes having to do with this in the Sautantika schools is that the sutras, those who follow sutras, don't have a coarse sense of selflessness of phenomena. They only have subtle. And that the yogic, those who have the yogic perception, they have, in their coarse sense, they say a form and the valid cognizer apprehending that form being empty of being different substances. So, I mean, they're almost exactly the same except for...
Yeah, there's only a couple, not everything, but two the same, I think.
Well, then, I can show you, then what I'm seeing in the chart is then, I don't know what it's talking about, because it talks about the Sutra school and the Great Exposition says conventional truth, ultimate truth, they believe the same thing, but then it says the Sutra school believes something different. I can show you
the
chart.
Yeah, we're looking at the same thing. So the consequences is Vaivasika, right? And autonomy is the...
This one. That's coarse and subtle selflessness. I'm talking about the two truths.
Okay.
So then I don't
know. Yeah, I don't
know.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
So I will look. So next Friday.
Okay.
So in the meanwhile, probably it's good to debate tonight. Good debate. Everybody brings mala. Okay, I'll stop here. It's not. that's good, very good. You know, so more debate is needed. Then it will remain in your mind a long time. You know, so more debate, that particular topic you remember a long time, you remember in your mind long time, because you already had debate on that. Subject that you have not been debate, hard, easy to forget, and hard to recall in the future. Maybe that's not the best thing to do right after work. To hear some of this. Yeah, thank you very much. So, your understanding of tennis is improving a lot.